On this week's episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast, two games this week as the Bears took on the Providence Bruins on Mike Vecchione bobblehead night, and boy do I have thoughts on that. And then it's off to Hartford to take on the Wolfpack. All that and more on the Grit and Barrett podcast starting right now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grit and Barrett podcast. It is a Monday, April 1st, 2024. It's April, everyone. It's April. Where has the time gone? It seemed like only yesterday we just raised a banner in October, and we were so excited for the season starting and so many other things, and it's April. We're down to single digits games remaining, and yeah, time is a social construct. My name is Richard Blosser, welcoming you to the first and only Hershey Bears podcast out there in the Hockeyverse, as always presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. So, a little bit of a lean cut this week, as the Bears only had two games this week, and they were pretty stretched out, as we had one on a Tuesday night and a Saturday night in Hartford, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's it. I mean, games over this week and next week are going to be a little lean before we do a mad dash to the finish, which a 3-3 will be involved, as well as another weeknight game or two. So, all right, let's get into these games, shall we? So, we're going to go way back to Tuesday night, March 26th, as the Hershey Bears took on the Providence Bruins, and it's another bobblehead night. It's Mike Vecchione bobblehead night. Yay, and here we go again. All right, folks, you're going to have, if you're just here for game highlights, you'll want to skip ahead a few minutes, because Lord knows have I got something to say. So, all right, this was stupidity that on the Bears organization and on the fans. That's right, I'm calling it out on both ends of the spectrum. So, let's start from the fans' perspective, number one. Going in, the pre-strike on these bobbleheads already started. Because of everything that happened with the Hunter Shepard bobblehead night, fans didn't get theirs. My grandson really likes Hunter, and he wants one. The posts were already out. If anybody has an extra bobblehead, I really, really want one. I work till 6 o'clock, and I'm not going to get there in time. My nephew really likes Mike Vecchione. Can I have one? My son really likes Mike Vecchione. I really like it. Can I please get an extra bobblehead? All right. I knew these were going to happen because we did this with Hunter. And it couldn't get much worse than that, could it? The narrator says it could. And people were already there at 4:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. 4:30. The doors open at minimum for everyone at 5:30. Season ticket holders at 5:15. Don't you people have lives? I love the Bears, but I have to work at a job I don't want to support a job I do want to do. But why the hell are all of you there at 4:30? Seriously. All right, so the people at Giant Center, which is owned by Herco, not owned by the Bears, but anyway, were doing the best with what they could, because the line was already bleeding out into the streets for the premium parking, and security was doing the best they could by saying, please disperse from the streets, please step aside. Or they got smart and blocked off that front to where, okay, if you're parking here, you're going to have to park into this lot. Nobody goes through the center because they knew the lines were going to bleed out. Season ticket holder line all the way down the sidewalk. You know, maybe having this door open with only two lanes is not a good idea. But I'm rambling. All right. So, me and the wife get there, and she's actually going to be with me for a date night on this. So, which is fine. I don't have to dump her off around back so she has to go work, which is fine. And I walk up, parking, we get there around like 5:40, and parking is stupid, which is expected. We're going to have to walk, which is, it's fine. I park in the east lots. I don't park in the bridge anymore. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be bad, but all I have to do is just endure it. It's going to be bad. And I see the line for the season ticket holders. I see the line to get in. People already ranting. Facebook is already with the posts of people wanting them. And I walk in and we get to the front and there's no bobbleheads left. And I'm okay with that. I didn't want one. I wasn't expecting one, which is fine. And I get in, and even at 5:40, which is like 10 minutes after the gates open up, everything's blown up. All the food stands are blown up. All the kids' areas are blown up. Even everything's blown up. Why? Because you had 5,000 plus people show up at once. When typically you have 2,000 show up at once. 3 show up at once. And it's a gradual letting of people in. Not everyone all at once. This was an absolute failure on terms of Herco staffing and operations. A complete failure. It just completely unprepared that, oh, only 4,000 people are going to show up early. 6,000 people are going to show up. This is stupid. Well, why don't you get there earlier? I work. I don't have a non-life where I can show up at 4:30. Because your kid wants a bobblehead, or we have people who got bobbleheads and just walk right the F out. I thought this happened on Hershey Park Pats nights. But I'm rambling, aren't I? I am rambling. And were these sold on eBay? You bet your sweet bippy they were. $100, $60, and I don't care. People can do that. You can do that. I'm just glad the tut-tuttery of selling these things was down. And oh, people, and again, can I please have one? Can someone extra have one? Please, I want one. I really like one. I really, really want one. The begging and pleading was just insane. And we still had a hockey game to get through. So the Bears took on the Providence Bruins, and last time around against Providence, playoffs permitting, and the Bears had already gone 5-0 against Providence this season, winning all three games up there at Amica Mutual Pavilion, both games at Giant Center, and if, also with the added caveat that if the Bears beat Providence this night, we'll chip away our magic number down to probably 1 at this point, with a chance to wrap up the division if things went well in Hartford. Before April. A pretty darn good feat. And I'm okay with this, but I could feel the pressure of this game. There is no way Providence is just going to, quote, lay over. Lay down or lay over for us. They're making a pretty darn good surge here late in the season. Playing very consistently. Very, very good. Annoyingly so. Charlotte's getting this way too. You're starting to see the cream rising to the top. Yeah. And the Bears, here's a preview of what's to come. But also, we do have Matthew Phillips back with us. So there's some good stuff. Tom Wilson's still suspended. Thank you. And a pretty good crowd at Giant Center. Pretty darn good crowd. 10,001 here. A lot of people here on a Tuesday. A lot of people. And Providence is wearing their whites on the road that still look a lot like the Boston Bruins jerseys. Remember when Providence used to not wear whites? Their white jerseys were their alternates? Pepperidge Farm remembers. So, we get underway. As the Bears and Bruins went at it. And this was a game where, again, I didn't have a good feeling about this. Everything screamed that we're not going to win this. It seemed a little too good. The two teams played rather even. Providence determined to play that annoying work for every shot you get, push the Bears along the boards, limiting them to the perimeter, fight for every inch of hockey you get. It's just something that now Providence is really good at doing. And unfortunately, the march to the penalty box for the Bears continued. Vinny for a hold. Chase off for a hook. And we ran into this problem in Cleveland. And it's starting up again. But do you think the fans want to hear this? No. Oh, the refs don't like... God, here we go. Power play for Providence. Gets set up. Gets around. Markelov throws one out to Brown. Shot. Pad save. Rebound. Scores. Jason Megna, the former Bear, with his 15th of the season power play goal. Patrick Brown is 15th. Georgi Markelov, the all-star Markelov, gets a 32nd assist. And it's 1-0 Providence there in the first. And all right. So the Bears come off another power play. Finally get the 5-on-5 going. They're playing pretty darn good. 5-on-5. Joe Snively out to Logan Day. Wines, fires, power shot. He scores! Logan Day! Mayday from the circles has tied the game! Logan Day, his third. Where have you been, lad? Logan Day is third. Joe Snively's 38th assist. Mike Vecchione, his... excuse me. His 16th. And we're tied at one. All right. We got a 5-on-5 goal. We're going to settle this down. And we're going to be fine. And oh, look, Chase Preske goes off for a high-sticking double minor. All right. Yay. But Anthony Richard gets a trip. So it's a little 4-on-4 action. A little 4-on-4. And, well, the Bears had the better skaters. They should be... all right with this. And what do you mean Michael Callahan's left all alone and he scores? Michael Callahan. Yes. Son of Ryan Callahan. Yep, him. Gets his fourth. Georgi Markelov gets another assist, makes it 33. And Jason Megna, 4-on-4 goal to make it 2-1. And oh my gosh, it keeps going. More penalties, more trips. Day, Arsenicu, both off. Another power play for Hartford. Guys, we gotta stop doing this. You're up to 5 already. Clearing attempt by the Bears gets knocked down by Megna, who just fires it over to a wide open Anthony Richard, shoots, and he scores. Power play goal, another one for Providence. Anthony Richard, the former Rocket, his 22nd. Jason Megna, his second assist, a third point of the game. 3-1. And still more penalties get taken. Still. As Riley goes up. Keeps going off. And more penalties keep coming. It's going to be fine. We just got to get through this. Joe Snively clears his own right to the tape of a Providence Bruin who just skates in and he scores. Joe, what are you doing? Joe Snively with the giveaway right to Mark McLaughlin and he scores. And I just look at my guys and I go, we're done. We're done. Mark Laughlin makes it his 7th. With 4 minutes to go in the second, 4-1 Providence, 3 goals on 5 shots for them. I mean, yeah, the fans are upset. The fans are upset because they think the refs have it in for us. How about stop taking fucking penalties? We went through 5 of these each. In Cleveland. And now you're already up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 midway through the game. 10-plus minutes worth of penalties ain't going to cut it at the end of the season, let alone the postseason. So things are getting a little chippy. Things are getting a little wild here. Reinhofer takes a shot up high. Elbow to the jaw. No call coming. And Reinhofer just goes, "That's it, mother! Let's go!" Just grabs the guy, just shoving it, throwing up against the board, and throwing this and that. And I can understand he's upset. And yeah, ref, you gotta call that. In the words of John Walton, you gotta call that. And Hofer goes off 4 minutes for roughing. Strom goes off for roughing. Dan Reneoff goes off for roughing. And sure, take control penalty. Fine. And the Bears are down 4-1 heading into the third. As me and my friends talked about, this is a third where either one of two things happen. You come out pissed off. You try to get back into it. Number one, actually three options. Number two, not our night, save for Hartford. Or three, F it, go out there and destroy everything and just turn this into an absolute crap show. Well, the Bears chose B. And not much happened in the third. Not that I'm saying they didn't try, but Providence knew they had this game. And did what I like to tell all of you. The big brother holding out the little brother, while the little brother is just being have his held back and swinging his arms at, yeah. And the big brother just holding his arm out going, "Yeah, you tried to hit me. Oh, you almost got it. You tried." This is cute. I'm just going to stand here and scroll on my phone. Oh, look, there's a war going on. Oh, you almost got me. You almost got me. This is adorable. Look, I got a few likes on Instagram. So that's what Providence does to us. The team that we all know and annoys us. Showed up. Bears get a full-blown 5-on-3. Three and do nothing with it. And just do absolutely nothing. And the clock runs out. More people start to leave at every stoppage. And I'm like, yes, peasants. Yes. Leave. Leave. Less traffic for me to have to deal with. And the clock runs out. Bears lose. 4-1 the final. As three stars were, Logan Day gets a third because, well, we need to do something with this night in terms of positivity. Michael Callahan gets second. Jason Megna gets first with 3 points. And this is just what Providence does. Providence gets a win on us to go 5-1 on the regular season. And if this was a February night, I would have just went, not our night, on to Hartford. But there was something a little bit more that was added to this. There was more people here for obvious reasons. There was higher stakes in this because you could have really put Providence out of reach of getting the division. But it just didn't happen. You shot yourselves in the foot and you wondered why your feet was hurting so much. And sure, the fans needed somebody to blame, and everybody blamed the refs. Do the Bears have a target on their back because the referees are calling everything? These referees are terrible. They don't want the Bears to win. I didn't know it was 9-on-5 tonight. The refs were out to screw us. You did this to yourselves! Every single call was legit. Was absolutely legit. You're mad because you need somebody to blame. You're not going to blame the players for this. Who did this to themselves? No, it's the ref's fault. Am I really so blind to the Bears' bad play sometimes that just maybe they commit too many penalties this time of year and are turning into an undisciplined team that might cost them games down the stretch? Thinks, no, it's the referee's fault. To quote the great Principal Skinner meme, that's what it is. Sometimes your team's just undisciplined. And that's not the refs, that's you. So stop blaming others. So we hope to get back on track on a Saturday in Hartford, and we'll get to that right after this. Alrighty, Bears fans, we are heading into the month of April, and the hockey season is winding down, but that doesn't mean the action on the ice is winding down. It is still the fastest and coolest game on earth with tons of sweet action to bet on, and you can get in on it with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Hockey League, as they have a great deal, which is no April Fool's joke at all. As new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly at DraftKings Sportsbook, as there is a ton of great games that we are going to have as we head into the last two or three weeks of the season. Maybe your team is out of it and you are looking to get some sweet, sweet action as we head into the spring. Maybe a little bit of extra knowledge that you know that can get your team into prime playoff positioning. It's all there at DraftKings Sportsbook. And download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN as new customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. Please see dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. And now, on with the show. And we're back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast. Thank you so much to DraftKings Sportsbook, the sponsor of this show. So the Bears had some time off to heal and recover from this. No Friday night hockey, which is rather weird and awkward. But during the week, we got news that Matthew Phillips got recalled by Washington. Again, Sonny Milano's injured. Up he goes. And Vinny Iorio gets called up as Rasmus Sedin enters the players' assistance program. Good luck to him and whatever he is dealing with. So the Bears traveled to a place where we need to get right. A place where everybody doesn't know your name, and that is Hartford, Connecticut. Yes, it's back to the mausoleum known as the XL Center, where Zach, friend of the show, has to go all the way up to the rafters to call games there at the XL Center. Now, for all of you new listening to the show, why do I call the XL Center the mausoleum? Because it is old and decrepit, number one. But number two, remnants of the Hartford Whalers is still there. Sure, there's a ton of banners for the Hartford Wolfpack. Sure, there's a lot of stuff for UConn men's and women's basketball that's up in the rafters. But whenever you go out there and you look up and to your left, there it is. Hartford Whalers. Banners from their time in the World Hockey League and the NHL is still there. And there are some that will absolutely believe that one day they'll realize the wrongs and they will be brought back into the National Hockey League. I don't ever see that happening, but sure, just keep believing that, Jen. Even though I got friends up there in Hartford, it's always fun when you go up there and you see the banners that are up there. And the Bears take on the Hartford Wolfpack. Just let's go out there and win this game. I had a friend of mine text me in Hartford, text me, be like, hey, good luck. I'd like to congratulate you on your win, because Hartford hasn't been playing great as of recently. They're 1-7, 1-1 in their last 10 and are falling in the standings fast. And the Bears need to get back on track. They should beat these guys real easily. It's Hunter Shepherd versus Louis Domingue? No. Dylan Garrard? No. Ulf Lindbaum? Who? Olaf Lindbaum? Who? Let's check here on the old. He is 1-2 this season. No, he's 6-13. Oh boy. He's 1-2 this season. Oh, wow. He's went up against Providence, Laval, Utica, Springfield, and against Belleville. Okay. So he's a break glass in case of emergency. He was a pick 39 of the New York Rangers in the second round in the 2018 draft. Good for him. Good for him. So we're there in Hartford. I hope the Bears can set the tone early. Is Hartford's, you know, going to try and play physical and push the play? And here come the Bears in. Patrick Dubé finds Ethan Frank, who shoots and he scores! Ethan Frank scores on the first Bears shot of the game! Ethan's in the lead. Gets it. His 25th. Patrick Dubé, his 16th. 1-0 Hershey. First shot of the game. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it? All right. The Bear, Ethan gets his first goal. We're taking on a rookie goaltender who's not having the best first season. Oh, this is the kind of night the Bears needed. Just absolutely go after Hartford because, well, the last time we played these guys at home, let me just check something here. Stupid HL website. All right, let me just see here. Last time we played these guys, I know it's here somewhere. I know it's here. Last time we played these guys was March 17th, and we beat them 4-0 at Giant Center. Last time we played them at Giant Center was January 6th. Oh, that was the halfway to summer. And that was also the night. That was the beginning of the end of my car that was stuck out there in the snowstorm and was cold and it wouldn't start. That began a month long wondering about the car. Anyway, so, all right. It's going to be one of these nights against Hartford. And I'm ready, and I'm sure these guys are going to absolutely go get them. But once again, penalties keep coming into play. You know, Bears, Jimmy Huntington goes off for holding. Dylan McElrath off for tripping. Makes it a quick 5-on-3 for Hartford. And Hartford actually outshoots the Bears 15-5 in the first. Okay, odd first period. Let's make some adjustments. We'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine. What do you mean we only have 7 shots on them midway through the second? Why are you doing this? Power play for Hartford as Hofer goes off for a slash. A bit of a weak call, but okay. And Hartford just it's over. Brendan Burrott from down low below the goal. Bezell out front. Ottoman, and it goes in. Shot from Ottoman just hits Logan Day and bounces into the net. A lucky bounce that just goes right in. Logan Day did nothing wrong. Tied up his man in front, and the puck just hits him and bounces right into the net. Gee, I guess this is how Cleveland felt. Brennan Othman gets his 18th. Alex Bezell gets his 29th. Brett Berent gets his 19th. Power play goal. And we're tied at 1. And we're absolutely tied at 1. And 4 penalties? 4 in a row, actually, for the Bears. And yeah, I called BS on one of them. But still... We're still having these problems, guys. Let's pick things up. And I don't know I know what happened in the third. Either Patrick Weller pulled the guys inside and said, get your shit together. Get it together. Take your shit, put it in a bag, or tie it up, but get your shit together. All right? Go down to the shit store and ask a guy who deals with crap to help you get it together. But get your crap and get it together. And whatever it did, it worked. Because in the third, the Bears just came out flying. Just went, hey, we're better than these guys. Let's take it to them. We get the skates moving. We get the speed going. And we're causing Hartford to take penalties because we're getting the legs moving. But for everything the Bears had done... We're tied. And we go to overtime. Well, we nick a point. Providence is losing. That's good to know. We head into overtime. As Hartford takes a high-sticking penalty. Good. Power play for the Bears, which they do nothing. Brett Bjorn goes off for hooking with 56 seconds left. Surely we can score here, and nothing comes of it. Great. Great. Why can't we score in overtime anymore? Remember when we could do that? Pepperidge Farm remembers. So we go into a shootout. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So Hartford goes first. Brett Bjorn up first. Look, comes in, looks on Hunter, shoots, kick save by Hunter. Up next, Patrick Dubé. Okay, Dubé skates around, looks, shoots, he scores! Goes low, goes five hole and beats him. Bears are up. Up next, Nick Batan, former Iowa Wild, hops over the boards, comes in on Hunter, comes in, goes into the slot, and he scores almost effortlessly. Just comes in and goes, all right, there's a corner, it's in. All right, I got this. Up next, Joe Snively. Okay, Snively comes in, skates wide once again to the circle, shoots, he scores! Once again, five hole on this goalie. All right, come on. Up next, Alex Bazell. All right, Hunter, stop him and let's go home. Bazell comes in, looks to the dots, he shoots and he scores. Low glove side. All right, Alex Lemieux in his beautiful hair, score and let's go home. Alex cuts in, skates wide to the circles, shoots, he scores! The curse is broken! Bears win! Alex Lemieux beats him. Low glove side, I think. And the Bears finally get a shootout win this season. Bears win it. 2-1 the final. Now let's get the hell out of here. 3 stars. Ulf Lindbaum, 24 for 25, gets third. Hunter gets second. Alex Lemieux gets first because he got the game winner. And Bears beat the Wolfpack 2-1. On a Saturday night, now let's get home. And this was a big one as the Bears, not only did the Bears win, but Providence was shut out against the Syracuse Crunch, who were not the Syracuse Crunch this night, who were the Syracuse Canal Mules. Yeah, that was a thing that happened. The Syracuse Canal Mules. Two separate words. Yeah, that was a thing that happened. Providence lost on the road, which helps us, which reduced the Bears' magic number from 5-1. So that helped out as well. Coachella Valley unfortunately won, but our magic number to clinch home ice throughout everything is at 9, which will be interesting to do as we head forward. So what does that mean for the Bears clinching the division? It means that we just need 1 point over the remaining games. Just one. And at our next home game, Tuesday against the Phantoms, all we got to do is nick a point in any way, and the Bears will clinch the Atlantic Division title, which I'm sure will not be repeated 20 times on the broadcast whatsoever. Love you, Zach. Mean it. I know he's a radio guy, and he kind of has to, and it's like when you repeat the score over and over again. But that's just, if it's an important fact, trust me, Zach will make sure you know about it. Love you, Zach. Mean it. So to bring the home ice number down, we need to win, and Coachella Valley needs to lose. Yeah, it's Hershey and Coachella Valley are number one and number two in the league. But speaking of which, let's go to the standings and see where everything stands. The Bears are in first place in the Atlantic with 99 points. Crack 100, get the division. And second is Providence with 83 as they punch their ticket to the postseason. Charlotte is in third, 6 points out of Providence. So not 100% sure if they'll catch them, but they're there. Wilkes-Barre is in fourth with 75. Hartford somehow is in fifth with 70. Lehigh is in sixth with 65. Springfield is in seventh with 63. And the Bridgeport Islanders in dead last at 53. We take a look at the North. It is being led by the Syracuse Crunch with 80 points. Cleveland with 77. Rochester with 75. Toronto with 71. Laval with 70. Belleville with 68. And the Comets with 67. In terms of the conference, the Bears lead in all the length. So most likely once we wrap up the division, most likely we'll wrap up the conference as well. So we will have home ice throughout the playoffs, at least on the eastern side of the bracket. The Bears and Firebirds are only separated by 10 points as of right now, and Coachella Valley does have a game in hand. The top five in the league is Hershey, Coachella Valley, Milwaukee, Providence, and Syracuse, followed by Tucson and Ontario. So checking out the playoff primer, we will see how things stand up if the playoffs started today as of time of this recording, which is March 31st. The first round would be Hershey and Providence will get the first round byes as Charlotte would take on Lehigh with all three games, and Charlotte not again! Third straight year in a row, three out of 4 years we're doing this. And then Wilkes-Barre versus Hartford, most likely all three games at Wilkes-Barre. Over in the North, Syracuse gets a bye. The best of three matchup will be Toronto versus Laval. Interesting. And the 2-3 matchup of Cleveland versus Rochester. Best of five with home ice going to Cleveland. So still lots of hockey to be played, boys and girls, and more playoff seeding to be determined. And that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast this week. Programming note, next week's show probably won't be out until Tuesday, April 9th, because I'm off to WrestleMania, everyone. And I ain't getting back till late Monday night. So I will not be recording Sunday like I usually do, nor Monday, nor anything else. So I will probably record the show late Tuesday morning or early afternoon. And once it is edited, I will immediately get it out into the bloodstream. So don't worry, everyone. More content will be coming as we have three games this week as the Bears will take on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms at Giant Center. It's Hershey Park Pass night. Oh boy, I'm sure that'll be a good time. And then this weekend, we're off to Iowa for the first time in ever to take on the Iowa Wild Friday and Saturday before we have a 3-3 the following weekend. Friday at home, Friday night hockey at home as the Bears take on the Phantoms, then back up to Mohegan Sun Arena for the last time there on Saturday, and then the rematch back home, 5 o'clock against Wilkes-Barre, and then the following week, the 17th against Charlotte, and then at home against Charlotte again to close out the season. So that is the last 8 games of the Bears season, and we'll see where things go, and we will have things covered as we go. So that'll do it. My name's Richard Blosser. Thank you to everyone for your times, listens, and downloads. And hang on, everyone, because the roller coaster is going to get kicked into high gear as we head to the playoffs. And there's nothing left else to say except, go Bears, and I'll catch you next time. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020, to dementia and COVID.
The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast, and go Bears.